Genesis chapter 24, and we'll read again verse 7. Genesis 24, verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. We notice here the great faith of Abraham. There appeared to be no doubt in his mind. God will go with you. God's angel will go before you. And you will succeed in your mission. And you will certainly bring from there a wife for my son Isaac. You see, Abraham had got to know God over a prolonged period of time. And he believed God. He trusted God. Do you know God? Do you trust God? Are you depending on Him? Are you being led by God? If you are, you will be blessed and blessed forever. Now this chapter presents us with what one writer has called the loveliest story ever told. We're told here about how a wife is found for Isaac, Abraham's son, and how that wife is brought to Isaac, and how they fall deeply in love, and how they live happily ever after. But what relevance is that for us? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for a wife. And he says to you and me, Wilt thou go with this man? Will you take the Lord Jesus Christ to be your own spouse, your own wife, your own beloved, and enter into a deep relationship with Him? What wonderful promises He makes to us. He promises us that He will look after us all our days in this life. He promises us that He will look after us in death. And He will look after us forever in His palace in heaven above. Wilt thou go with this man? What an offer is made to us by the God of heaven himself. An offer that he will love us as a husband loves his wife. To Israel long ago, God said, Thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And the same words are spoken to the church today. Thy maker is thine husband. And what a husband we have in him. Well, first today we see here Abraham's great concern. A concern to find a wife for Isaac his son. In Genesis 25 and verse 20, we learn that Isaac was 40 years old when he got married. So the time has come for Isaac to marry. He's 40 years old. 3 years previous to this, when he was 37, his mother Sarah died. And you can imagine the close relationship that existed between Isaac and Sarah. Sarah was an old mother. She was very old when she had Isaac. But also, Isaac was miraculously born. She was well past the age of childbearing. And you can imagine how much she loved this precious child for whom she had waited for so long, prayed that she would have a child, and at last she has a little child in her arms. And as he grows up, how she loves him, and no doubt how Isaac loved her. We're told at the end of chapter 24, how he was comforted through marrying Rebecca after his mother's death. So there was that great bond between him and his mother. Abraham himself is old. By this stage, Abraham was 140. People lived a bit longer in these days. Perhaps it was due to the fact that the world was not so polluted. One way or another, anyway, people certainly lived longer at that time. But Abraham, he was old, 140, we're told, well stricken in age, verse 1. And he had great promises from God. He had a promise that he would have children and children's children and a multitude of seed. And he had promised that he would have the land of Canaan for his inheritance. And he was promised that all the nations of the world would be blessed through a child that he would have. Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. But how could these promises be fulfilled unless Isaac got married? All the promises that focused in upon Abraham now focused in upon Abraham's son Isaac, and they could only be fulfilled through Isaac marrying and having a family. And so it's a concern for the aged Abraham that before he die, he see Isaac married, happily and well married. But who is Isaac going to marry? It was usual in the culture of their times for parents to seek a wife for their son, just as it is in some countries today, in India or in Sri Lanka. Very often the parents will be involved in arranging the marriage of their son and their daughter. And earlier in the book of Genesis, we read about Hagar, how Hagar went to Egypt and brought from there a wife for her son Ishmael. And so Abraham thinks, I have to find a wife for my son Isaac. And how is he going to find a wife for Isaac? So he calls his most trusted servant, his chief servant, who was over all that he had, and he gives to him the job of finding a wife for Isaac. The servant was obviously himself a godly man. And it's interesting to notice how not just Abraham was godly, but all those people who were in the same circle as him. His wife and his family and even his servants. His godliness was not kept to himself as a private thing. It was something that influenced all who were around him. And it should be like that with us too. We should be an influence for good upon our own family, upon our neighbours, upon our friends, upon the people amongst whom we work, wherever we are. We should be looking for the Lord to bless our witness and testimony so that we will help other people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust in Him. Now, Abraham had two requirements with regard to the wife that the servant was to find for Isaac. The first requirement is that the wife must not be a Canaanite. The Canaanites were wicked people, and they were under the judgment of God. The time hadn't come as yet, but God had said, I will destroy the Canaanites, I'll wipe them off the face of the earth, and I will give to you, Abraham, and to your family, the land of the Canaanites. They were wicked, but their wickedness hadn't reached its full pitch or climax yet. Only when it reached its full climax would God, in His judgment, destroy the land of Canaan. Abraham doesn't want a woman from amongst the wicked Canaanites. they were doomed. Isaac must not mingle with the Canaanites. He must keep himself separate. The Lord's people, yes, we are to live in the world. And yet, while living in the world, we must keep ourselves separate. We are to be a holy people, a special people unto the Lord. And in looking for a husband or looking for a wife, our first consideration should be, will this woman or this man help me spiritually? Will they help me on the way to heaven? Will they be an encouragement to me in the things of God? That must be our first concern in looking for our dearest companion in life. What a close relationship is the relationship between a husband and wife. That is, when it's a proper relationship. When it's a proper relationship, the two become one. It's so close. And in that very close relationship, we should be looking for somebody who will help us in the most important thing, which is to serve the Lord and to love Him and to follow Him, not somebody who may be a hindrance or an opposition to us in the things of God. So she must not be from the Canaanites. And the second requirement was that he would go to the land from which Abraham had come, to the relatives of Abraham, but he must not take Isaac back there. He must go back to that land, find there a wife for his son Isaac, but not take Isaac back. You remember how Isaac was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, Mesopotamia, Iraq, called out of that land, called out from Haran, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will be a God to you, and you shall be my servant, and I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing to all. And it's interesting that Abraham himself didn't go back looking for a wife. He felt he must not go back. And he didn't want Isaac to go back there in case Isaac was tempted to stay in that far-off country. No. Ur of the Chaldees, Mesopotamia must be left behind. God has called them out from there. But then the servant says, what if the woman won't follow me? Hundreds of miles to marry somebody she's never met and to enter into a family that she doesn't know. That would require an awful lot on the part of a young woman to leave her own family and all the rest of it behind. What if she will not follow me? And Abraham says, don't worry. The angel of the Lord will go before you and he'll prepare the way. Trust God. He always answers prayer. Trust God. He'll help you to the end. And just to calm his servant down, he said, if the woman will not come with you, that's the end of the promise. And don't worry, but don't take my son back. And so the servant makes a solemn promise to Abraham that he will go hundreds and hundreds of miles from Israel to Iraq in order to find a wife for Isaac. Abraham's great concern, a wife for Isaac. And our great concern should be to have a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing of all, to have a relationship with Christ as our own personal Savior. He who has the Son of God, has life. And he who has not the Son of God hath not life. If you have Christ, you have everything. And if you don't have Christ, you have nothing. Secondly, we notice here how the servant seeks God's help himself. He sets off from home, taking 10 camels loaded with gifts and wealth, and he comes to the town where Abraham's relatives lived, the town of Nahor. And when he gets there, he prays for direction. And he prays, asking the Lord to lead him to the woman that will be, that has from all eternity been appointed as the wife of Isaac. It's wonderful to realize that God has planned whatsoever comes to pass. And God has a great plan for his people. And we are to seek, therefore, to be in the plan of God and seek the working out of that plan and seek to do everything in a way that glorifies God. And so the servant says to God, when the women, the young women, come to the well to draw water, and they'll come with their pitcher on their shoulder, and they come and they put the water, the pitcher in the well, and they take out the water, put it on their shoulder. And I say to the woman, I say to her, please give me a drink. And if she say, yes, drink, takes her pitcher down and gives me a drink from her pitcher, but also says, I will give drink to your camels also, that will be the woman. Let that be the woman. It would be one thing for the woman to give a drink to this man, but another thing completely for that woman to draw water for the camels. Camels are tremendously thirsty animals, especially after crossing the desert. And they could drink a huge amount of water. And 10 camels, just think of all that they would drink and all the work that would be involved in this. So that was the sign that the man was asking. I want you, Lord, to guide me to the woman that you have chosen for Isaac. Lord, guide me. And when you pray to God, you too are to ask for guidance. To ask in the little things of life, but in the big things too. To ask for guidance with regard to marriage, with regard to work, with regard to your home, with regard to your family, with regard to your day-to-day life. Lord, lead me. Lord, show me the way. Lord, help me to make the right decisions. Guide me, Lord. May I do what pleases you. Lord, I want your blessing on my life. Show me what I should do, Lord. So here is this servant asking for guidance, and we should ask the Lord to guide us. He guides us through the scriptures, through the teaching of the Bible, and he guides us also through our thoughts, leading us in a certain direction. Sometimes if we're very, very puzzled, very on rare occasions when it seems to us perhaps that there's two roads in front of us, and both these roads seem good roads and scriptural roads, or paths to take, sometimes it's necessary perhaps for us to set out, as they say, put out a fleece or ask for a specific sign, as this servant did here, humbly asking the Lord for a sign so that we will make the right decision. Yes, we are to seek God's help, God's guidance in all things, and of course, especially in marriage. So the servant seeks God's help. Then thirdly, we notice here the quick answer that he gets. He had no sooner finished his prayer, indeed he was still praying to God, when a woman appeared, a beautiful woman, young woman, coming from the town to the well with her pitcher. And he watches her as she comes. She goes down to the well, down by the steps into the well, fills her pitcher with water, puts it on her shoulder, and starts off for the village again. And he goes up to her and he says, please, could you give me a drink? And she said, yes, sir, indeed. She takes her pitcher down and she gives him a drink. And then she says the magic words, and I will give drink to your camels also. And she goes and she takes her pitcher and She fills the trough with water and goes down to the well, pitcher load after pitcher load of water filling the troughs. And the man is amazed. The Lord takes us by surprise at times, and it's a wonderful thing when you pray about something and the answer is there. And it's so soon you get an answer. And he's watching in amazement as this woman, this young woman, is providing water for all the camels. What a wonderful character she was showing at the same time. She was showing a caring character and a concern for this man and his camels, a serving attitude, which is good, isn't it? Somebody who's willing to serve. In any marriage, we must be dutiful to one another. And we must be ready to serve. A husband must serve his wife. A wife must serve her husband. There is to be activity and diligence and helpfulness. Marriage is not about selfishly sitting around looking for somebody to do everything for you and expecting everything to be, as it were, put in your lap. It's giving as well as getting. And giving first. And the more you give, the more you get. In a proper, loving Christian marriage. And then he asks the woman. He's still wondering, can this be the woman? Does she really belong to the relatives of my master? So he asks the woman, who are your relatives? Who do you belong to? And she said, well, my father's Bethuel, and my grandfather was Nahor, and my grandmother Milcah. Nahor, the brother of Abraham. He couldn't believe his ears. How wonderfully the Lord has guided. How the angel has gone before and prepared the way for him. Isn't it so amazing what God does for us? And how God answers our prayers. And so he takes a ring, an earring, and bracelets, and gives them bracelets of gold, and gives them to the young woman, and asks her, is there any chance that we could come to your house and stay overnight? And she said, yes, you can come, there's plenty of room. And she runs off to tell her family. And he, we are told, bows down to worship the Lord. Verse 27, he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Blessed be the Lord. He worships the Lord. He gives thanks for this wonderful answer to prayer. And he says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Are you in the way? In God's way? God will lead you. Are you seeking salvation? Are you in God's way? God will lead you. I being in the way, the Lord led me. So the damsel ran off. He's thanking God for God's mercies. And his prayers answered. Remember to thank God for prayers answered. Fourthly, we have a request for Rebecca. The girl tells her mother and her brother Laban, and father Bethuel. And when Laban particularly sees the ring and the bracelets of gold, he runs to meet the man when he hears what she has to say. Later on in the story in Genesis, we learn more about Laban and what a covetous man he was and how he loved gold. But here, at this point, he runs out, meets the man who's still by the well and says, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. And takes him and prepares provender, feeding stuff for the camels, and prepares a meal, and they all gather round, and the meal is set on the table, and they're ready to have a nice meal. But the servant says, no, I cannot eat of any food until I have told you my mission. And then he tells the whole story about Abraham, that he's Abraham's servant. Abraham, the brother of Rebekah's grandfather, Nahor. Tells a story about Abraham and Sarah and the child of her old age, and how Abraham is very wealthy and he's given all his wealth to this son, Isaac, and how he has come seeking a wife for Isaac. And how he had prayed at the well that the Lord would guide him. How Rebekah came. And how the exact conditions that he asked were fulfilled. And how Rebekah not only gave him a drink, but also gave drink to the camels. And now he says, will you give me Rebekah to be a wife to Isaac? It was a big request. But Laban, her brother, Bethuel, her father, say, well, it's so clear that the Lord has guided you. It's so clear that providence has directed you. Yes, you can have Rebekah. And again, the servant praises the Lord and worships the Lord, gives thanks to the Lord. How wonderful it is how God answers prayer and how God grants to us what is good for us. Not always what we ask for, but he will give to us always what is best. And then finally, Isaac's marriage. Next morning, the servant wants to leave. Wants to leave right away. And the family say, well, this is too soon. You only arrived last night. It's all so sudden. We have to get used to the thought of Rebekah leaving us. And we have to have some feasting and family and relatives and friends and to be called together. Maybe wait 10 days and then you can go. But the servant says, no. I'm a man on a mission. I've got to get this fulfilled. I see how the Lord has helped me up to this point. Please don't delay me. And so they decide on something very special. They say, well, we'll ask the woman herself. And so they call Rebekah down. And they ask her that vital question. Wilt thou go with this man? And what did she say? I will go. Wilt thou go with this man? Will you go with him? With the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you also saying, I will go. I will go with Jesus. Wherever I have to go. Wherever my path leads. However far it be, whatever difficulties or troubles, through health or sickness, through troubles and trials, through persecution itself, I will go with this man. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we're told that they set off. And eventually, they come to the area where Isaac was staying by the well, Lahairoi, in the south country. And we're told that Isaac went out to meditate in the field. He was meditating. What was he doing? He was praying. Praying for the Lord to guide him. Praying for the Lord to guide his servant. Praying for the Lord to give him a wife. out there in the field alone on his own, doing business with the God of heaven. Does that describe your own life? A person who's alone with God, meditating, praying, calling to the Lord for guidance and direction. And right in the midst of his prayer, he sees the camels draw near, recognizes them as his own camels. Rebecca lifted up her eyes and saw him, and she asked the servant, "Who is this man?" And he said, "It is my master." She put a veil over her face, covered herself. She got off the camel and met Isaac, and Isaac brought her to his mother's, Sarah's, tent. He took her and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The wonderful ways of the Lord, ending in love and joy and peace and happiness. Oh, that we would seek the Lord's guidance, and that we would live our lives for Jesus Christ, our great Saviour.